Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Ches, Avodah Zarah 48. Our Mishnah is talking about the prohibition to sit under the shade of an Asherah tree. Asherah tree is a tree that is worshipped for idolatry. So our Mishnah says, Lo Yishev B'Tzela, a person shall not sit in the shade of this Asherah tree, because there's the concern that underneath this Asherah tree there is an idolatrous offering which was buried there, and so therefore anybody walks under that shade is considered to be like they're making a, so to speak, tent covering over the idolatrous offering, or because maybe the Asherah tree itself is considered to be something that is worshipped, and therefore you're walking under its domain by walking in its shade. However, v'im yashav tahor, but if you sit under it, you are not considered to be ritually impure, you are tahor. And the way that this phrase is understood by the Gemara is that if you don't, not that you're tahor, if you sit under the shade of the Asherah tree itself, then you would certainly be ritually impure, but if you sit under the shade of the shade, meaning the shadow from the shade itself, then you will not be impure, then you will be ritually pure. V'lo yavor tachteha, and you're not allowed to pass under the branches of the Asherah tree. V'im avar tameh, but if you passed under it, then you are going to be considered to be ritually impure, because the Asherah makes a tent awning over you, and then the laws of ritual impurity apply that you are considered to be ritually impure. Continues our Mishnah, Haisa gozelis es harabim, that if this Asherah tree was stealing from the public, meaning to say that the branches of the Asherah tree were extending into the public domain, v'avar tachteha, and a person passed under the branches after they were extending into the public domain, then we say tahor. Then we say the person is not ritually impure, but they are ritually pure. They are tahor. They remain pure, because we say that the tumah of the ol, the impurity of this of being considered to be ritually impure, if you're under the domain of this tree, that is only a rabbinic decree, and the rabbis did not extend their decree to this area. So the Talmud analyzes this last point. Ibayalahu, the Talmud asks the following question. Avar, do we say that our Mishnah means that if you passed over it, bidiavad, ex post facto, if you passed under this tree, then we say that you are not tameh. However, lichatchila ab initio, that a person cannot pass over. Or do we say, over, that even lichatchila, even and as an initial approach, a person is allowed to pass under the branches which extend into the public domain? So that is the question that the rabbis of the yeshivas were discussing in the time of the Talmud. And Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechizkiya, says over, that you're even allowed to pass through lichatchila, even as an initial approach. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says im avar, that he says it's only ex post facto. If you passed under these branches that extend into the public domain, then we say that you're not going to be tamei. V'lo pligi, and the Gemara says there's really not a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's ex post facto, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar in the name of Chizkiya, who says that it is even. What is the distinction? That when we say that you can pass by even initially, that is when there is another path. That is when there is no other path that you could have passed by. And so since there's no other path, then you could pass by even initially, even under these branches. But if there is another path, then we say it's only b'di'evet, only ex post facto do we say you are not tamei. So Amalei Rav Rav Sheshes said to his attendant, Kimatus Lahasim, when we go to that place where there's this Asherah tree, Ari Tani, we have to make sure to pass through very quickly, so that we pass under it quickly, because I don't want to be delayed under this tree. Meaning to say, even though I'm allowed to pass under it, I have to do it very quickly. So the Gemara asks the question, what is Rav Sheshes referring to? Hechidami, Idoleka Dirkachrine, if there's no other path, then we would say, Lamali Aritani. Then we say, even initially, he's allowed to pass by even Lachatchila. There's no other path. He has no choice. Then Mishra Shari, it should be permitted completely. Vidika Dirkachrini. But if there is another path, Ki Amar Haritani Mishari, what good is it going to be to pass by quickly? There's another path, and he should take that other path instead of passing by quickly. So the Gemara explains, no, there's no other path. There's no other path. Well, if there's no other path, then why is he hurrying through? What's the value in hurrying through? Because Adam Chashav Shani, Rav Sheshes was a very distinguished person. So even though he's allowed to walk down this path because there's no other path, and we say lichatchila he can walk down this path, he's allowed to. Nevertheless, since he's a distinguished person, his laws are different. And so therefore, even a distinguished person has to make sure to walk through very quickly through this path. So there are two points to make about this. First, the Tosus points out, when we say that there's no other path, it doesn't mean that there's no other path at all. Because in the world, you could always go around and get there another way. There's obviously going to always be another path. But he sees there's no equivalent path in time and distance. That's what it means. So if there's no other way to get through there as quickly as this way, that's considered to be no other path. And the idea that the Adam Chashav Shani, this is something that a distinguished person is different. This is something that is unique to the laws of idolatry, and shares only one other type of area where we see that another person is distinguished in this fashion, and that is with respect to Shabbos, with the laws of Shabbos. And so the Brisker Rav used to say about the Gaon Reb Chaim that he was very strict as it came to the laws of Avodah Zarah and the laws of Shabbos, because he says that these two areas is where we say that the concept of Adam Chosh, of a person who's distinguished, should accept upon himself areas of extra piety, supererogatory behavior, specifically as it relates to the laws of idolatry and the laws of Shabbos. And we see that from the example of Rav Sheshes, who even though he was allowed to go down that path, he made sure to do it in a very quick fashion.